Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and I'd like to ask you, who are you madly in love with? And I want to hear an answer. The first answer I want to hear is me. Because if you can't love yourself, you're not going to love anybody else. So this is a show about how to love yourself better, and in that way, love everything better. And so to do that, we have an author, or the author, of a great new book called Madly in Love with Me. And I don't think she was addressing me. I think she was addressing whoever is reading the book to address themselves. So that's a wonderful title. Exciting, it's a juicy title. And to add to the juiciness of this interview is the author, Christine Arilo. Christine, welcome.
Thank you. You got my name right. It's 2% of the people ever get my name right the first time around, so that's great.
Glad I could. And that's just to help you be sure that you're talking to the right person.
Yeah, I know I am.
So what we're excited about, and oh, I want to also introduce the co-interviewer for this show, who's sitting right next to us, is my lovely wife, Deborah Roth, who's also very involved with this subject matter of women loving themselves, and also we want men to love themselves too. And so this isn't just about women, but it's written with women in mind, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of mentions of her in your book.
I had to pick a pronoun because it was making me crazy, so I definitely picked her, and I think that we all as human beings, as a species, really need to deepen our self-love and understand what that is. And there are definite differences of why we don't do that as men and women.
Historically, women have not had an important enough role in life and really were shunned from any power, any opportunities to grow their self-worth. Mm-hmm. And so this is a time in the world where women are, in many cultures, there are a lot of cultures where it's not still not able to happen. But in our culture, it's time for women to grow themselves a lot more. So that's why, another reason why this book is so important.
Yeah, well, and even if you think about the rise of feminism in the 60s and the 70s and the amount of self-esteem and self-empowerment that rose out of that and that's continued to rise out of that, it's so much more opportunity, so much more possibility, so much more self-esteem. But what's not happening is the self-compassion. What's not happening is the self-care. What's not happening is the self-pleasure. What's not happening are all these other things that are actually components of self-love. So we have a lot of women, especially out there, that think, well, if I can go out in the world and do and be and have it all and be confident, then I'm enough. And they go out and they do that, but somehow they're still not loving themselves.
And that was the distinction I really appreciated. You talk about in the book the self-love tree, mm-hmm. and how it all of those things, self-esteem and self-empowerment and self-care, self-forgive, all the self-fill-in-the-blanks, still all come back to self-love. And some of the stories you tell about how, I mean, Reticent's putting it nicely, you know, talking to groups of women, and you ask them to talk about how they feel about self-esteem or self-confidence, and they can stand up and make declarations, but then when you ask them to talk about self-love, that surprised me.
Yeah, there's a story about how I went to a college. It was a leadership thing with about 500 college students in it, and future women leaders of our world. And I said, how many of you would like look to your neighbor and be like, I have good self-esteem. I want to have good self-esteem. I want to be a confident woman. And like every hand shot up, like zoom, you know, and everyone was proud, like you said. And then I started to put your hands down. And I said, okay, now how many of you would look to your neighbor and say, I really want to love myself, or I really love myself? And dead silence, and one hand went up. It was my friend Christine, who was sitting in the front row, who's also a teacher, and little giggles. And I was like, wow. And in that moment, I did something very drastic. I actually dropped to my knees, and I was wearing heels and a dress, and I dropped to my knees because I got it. I'm like, these women are going to be the mothers of our future children. And they think that self-love is selfish and narcissistic and conceited and vain, which is what is actually it's defined as in the dictionary. So I drop to my knees and I look at these women and I said, now imagine me as your future child. And here's me and I'm your daughter or your son. Would you look at me and say, don't love yourself. That's selfish. I was to come to you and say, Mommy, is it okay for me to put myself first? Mommy, is it okay for me to, you know, be able to take care of myself first? Is it okay for me to only have loving relationships? You'd say, yes, do that, because that's love, and you would know that. So why are we any different?
Right.
That's right.
Years ago, Deborah and I had a manufacturing company, and we produced audio cassette tapes for children to build self-esteem, self-worth. Mm. It was all about how wonderful they were. And it used their names in it individually, uniquely. So you'd buy a tape with a kid's name in it. And I remember people coming by my booth at different expos or trade fairs and saying, don't kids love themselves too much? Aren't they too selfish? It's such a misunderstanding of the way we need to bring up children. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing and saying are so important in that we have to come from that groundedness that we're okay, that we are wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then we can make ourselves wonderful in life.
Well, and if you think about the word love, you would never say to somebody, you can't love your wife too much. Like, no one would ever say, don't love her too much. You know, don't do that. Or to your kids, don't love your kids too much. Well, like, you would never say that.
They're afraid of spoiling them.
But they would never say, don't love them too much.
Right.
Right.
They say you can't ever love them
to
enough.
To parents.
Because it's about love. We're not talking about what it's like. That's where we go with, oh my gosh, like they'll be narcissists. Well, here's the good thing about narcissism. It starts at the age of about 2 or 3. And it's actually it's created, the Mayo Clinic talks about it, of severe separation that happens between the child and the parent. And what happens is the child develops and they have a severe lack of self-love. So they're actually missing that love. They're missing love, so they overcompensate for that. So love, if we take it to like the consciousness perspective, love is love is love is love is love. And if you are sending love to your beautiful wife, it's the same energy if she was to hold up a mirror back to you and the love just came back. It's the same energy. So if you can't love somebody else too much, you actually can't love yourself too much.
Well, and you talk about too, somewhere in there in the book, I think it was towards the beginning, about what an intimate experience that is. You know, we've all heard the cliche, look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself how beautiful you are and how much you love yourself. That's really hard to do. Even, I mean, I consider myself to have a fair amount of self-love, but I feel like an idiot doing that. Mm-hmm. And yet I could turn to my husband or my kids and tell them how fabulous they are and how much I love them.
Yes.
In a minute.
Yeah, well, and the whole thing about the mirror is, like, how often do you actually stop and connect with yourself?
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, how often do you actually say, who's in there? Hello? You know? And so, like, my job is to make self-love practical. To make it practical and tangible and real, because once you get loving yourself, good idea. Okay, not narcissistic, not vain, not conceited. How do you do it? And what does it actually look like?
Well,
what's so great about this, too, is that you give very, you've got your me moments and the me art things and daring acts of love and very specific. I wrote it at the honesty hearing. I mean, can you talk about some of those that are just, you said, it's about taking action. I'm a life coach, so I'm all about taking action. You give people really specific tasks to do.
I call them daring acts of love. Exactly. Yes. Daring acts of love. Because I'm also about this being fun. If it's not fun, I don't want to do it. And that doesn't mean that sometimes it's not deep. Because, you know, going into those places inside of yourself can be scary, can be difficult, which is why we'd all rather just, you know, watch Grey's Anatomy, eat a brownie, you know what I mean, have an extra glass of wine than actually have to be with ourselves.
Well, and I don't want to throw a wrench into this.
Yes.
But
go ahead.
So go ahead.
Put the wrench in.
A lot of people, when they look at themselves, the first thing they look at is what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And so people are conditioned by others through their lives, often by their parents, about what their limitations are, mm-hmm. what doesn't look right about them, or behavior that's not right. And you look in the mirror, and we're conditioned to really not approve of ourselves.
But Christine has all kinds of answers for how you overcome that. That's one of her branches on the tree.
Yeah, you don't actually look in the mirror to feel crappy about yourself.
That's,
I mean, that happens all the time, right? I have, there's two things. So I want to just go back to the mirror, and then I want to address what you're talking about, Peter, which is what I call the inner mean girl or the inner mean dude, which is my name for the inner critic. But let me just go back to, because I want to give a PhD level self-love, daring act of love. It's one of my favorites to take. I do this about once a year. This is how it goes. It's PhD level, so just be prepared. I'm putting a warning label on this. You sit with yourself for an hour in front of a mirror just being with yourself. It's best to do this at night. Dim lights, candle, full-length mirror if you have one, or at least one that's like you can put on a table that's just you looking at it. And you set your timer for an hour, and you just look at yourself. This is a little bit with honesty hearing kind of helps get into. But you sit with yourself to just be like, who's in there? You know, and what's going on with you? And what's working in your life? And what's not working in your life? And as you sit there, of course, you're going to cry. I always cry. And then through the tears, there's this way in which I create a relationship with myself that I have kind of lost maybe, you know, through the busyness of life. And it's very profound. And I feel like it's very cleansing. Like, I think if we all did this, we probably would have less illness in our lives, because it just feels like I feel so cleansed after I do that. And then I'll take a salt bath, which of course is really good because it draws out all the toxins. And then I'll wake up the next day and I'll just be like $1 million. And that my heart is more open and I'm more connected to myself. And it's really challenging. I mean, I ask people all the time who in rooms, who here's done that? And even like life coaches, they're like, I've never sat in front of the mirror for an hour. And it's really, so that would be my PhD level double dog dare.
That's so truly what you're, you know, and I, you're not the first person that said it, but the intimacy, into me see. That's such a, like, woo, like you said, PhD level way of doing that.
Yeah.
Of creating that intimate
relationship. Well, because we want that intimate relationship with our partners, but we can't be with it with ourselves. Yeah. If we can't see ourselves, how can our partner ever see us? They can't. And I'm married now to my second best friend, Noah, and great man. And I know that why I met him and ended up marrying him, and we've been married for like, I don't know, 7, 8 years, something like that, know each other for like 11, is because I finally saw myself. Mm. I really finally saw myself. And so he was the first person that ever really saw me, but not because he was so spectacular, although he is, but because I saw me. Mm-hmm. And so these are the kinds of things we have to do with ourselves. You wouldn't, you know, you think about it, you wouldn't be in a relationship with somebody who never talked to you. You wouldn't, to your point, Peter, be in a relationship with somebody who was mean to you and who told you you were a loser and you should be doing better. And why aren't you doing more? What's wrong with you?
That was my last marriage.
Yeah. I've been in that one too. Yeah, I've been in there. Then you stay, you know, and that's an abusive relationship. Just, you know, and this is, I mean, I've talked to people on 6 continents, of all ages, from 8 to 88, probably over 22,000 people have gone through Intermean Girl Reform School, which is the school that's all about, for women specifically, but it's all about reforming your inner critic into your inner superheroine and really identifying what I call the Intermean Girl. There's 17 different kinds. I have 5. I have 5 Intermean Girls. They've all been reformed. And what I found in the work that I do with this is that it takes it out of that theological or the theoretical inner critic, saboteur, gremlin, and like makes it really personal, because being mean to yourself is really personal. It feels like you're, you know, in 7th grade in the playground and no one likes you.
It's also a survival way that we deal with ourselves, because we want to keep ourselves on edge. Mm-hmm. We think somehow that's going to make us better, is to know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And yet it only makes us feel worse.
Yes, all inner mean girls, inner mean dudes, at some point, they actually helped you, or they kept you safe, or they motivated you.
Right.
And like my achievement junkie, he was always like, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. Doesn't matter what I achieve, how many books I publish, how many stages I speak on, how much money I make, it's never enough, because the achievement junkie is always climbing the next mountain. Right, so that achievement junkie got me out of the South Side of Chicago, got me into the best business school in the country, climbed me up the corporate ladder at warp speed, and then it got to a point where it was stealing my joy. So when my first book came out, even though that book got published, which is like 2% of all book proposals ever make it to the shelf, that was nothing my achievement junkie, which her name is Move the Bar Belinda, because she always moves the bar on me, as she was stealing the joy of actually being able to celebrate my accomplishments. So she had to be reformed. And going back to the mirror, now her job is she stands on the mountaintop and she holds this big mirror back at me and she's like, look what you've done, you know, look what you've done. I'd be like, wow, you know, and it makes me sit there and actually take it in.
Sure.
And that's deep self-love and deep self-worth, but it allows you to actually deal with it in a way that you can be with it. And then And a lot of that is self-compassion, right, and self-care, and truly it's self-worth.
Right. And you talk in the book about a long list that we should be creating of what we love about ourselves. You say that it has to be at least 108 items, right?
The I Love Me list, yes. 108 is the most magical number in the universe. You can Google it. And there's 108 beads in the mala the yogic system is based on. And there's 108 names for the Virgin Mary, blah, 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 blah. I was actually also married on 10-8, and I was born at 11-08, and Noah was born at 108, so it's a lot of significance for me. It's a good number. And so the I Love Me list is 108 things that you love about yourself. Not 108 reasons you love yourself, but 108 things you love about yourself. And I have people that are in my courses and in my love club and stuff. This is how they introduce themselves. So when they start the love club, I'm like, put on our Facebook site the top 10 things that you love about yourself. And people are like, I love my curly hair. I love that I'm kind. I love that, you know, I grew up in, you know, New York. And I love that I can eat a cheese dog and still feel good about myself. Or, you know, whatever that is. And it's just like it opens up the space to be a little kid again. And just be playful. And I think that's part of what I'm trying to bring to the self-love, because it is really deep. And it is like there's a lot of stuff to earth. And you can really do it with a light heart.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, that just comes through all the way through, is just the playfulness. Because it's, I mean, this is deep, psychological, heavy stuff that comes up here. I mean, it's all your self-limiting beliefs and all this, all the baggage from your childhood and
people are like, I don't want to do that. No, don't sign me up for that. But to be able to have, you know, fun and celebrate, it's why I created February 13th as the International Day of Self-Love. It's a national holiday, actually international. There was 800 people had parties in 35 cities this last year, 35 countries. And like, just celebrate. Like, back to what you're saying, to celebrate who we are, because we're all unique, divine imprints of love. There's not one other person on the world that's just like us. So we can stop comparing ourselves and we can start accepting ourselves. And that's a great branch, self-acceptance, one of my favorite branches on the tree.
And once you do, you can do what's suggested in the book about creating a coronation ceremony.
Yes, that's the branch of self-empowerment. Self-empowerment is all about going for your dreams no matter what. I like to think of us as the king and the queen of our own lives, and you chart your own course and you're the monarch of your own dreams. And there's so much, you know, there's so much crap in our society that says this is how you have to live to be happy. And I work with so many people who are like, I just don't feel like I want to go down that path, but they're scared to go down this path that their heart's calling them to, because it's not in conventional wisdom, or it's not what I call the escalator to death, which is what most people are on, which is, you know, the escalator to the dream of having it all. And then they get there and all doesn't really make them happy. So there, and I work with girls that are like 22, you know, and they're like, all my friends are getting married and I don't want to get married. And, or I'm working with women in their 40s and they're like, I don't want to work in corporate America. I don't like this anymore. Like, I want to leave and I want to, like, you know, start a greeting card company or whatever. And it's like all the stuff inside of them that, you know, is like saying, no, you can't do that. No, you know, the inner mean girls go crazy. And then when you're self-empowered, and that was the coronation ceremony that's in the book, is about really dubbing yourself the king or queen of your own life. This is your life. Like, this is your life.
Well, I think what's important about having a book like this is that it handholds people through processes that help them create clarity and definition about how to do this.
Yes.
And that's really what a lot of people need, because we can talk about self-love all day long, but if there's not a process to hold it with, to clarify it and use it better in our lives, then it just falls away.
And it's so multidimensional. I mean, you talk about thinking things and then writing them and then doing something through art or movement or whatever. I mean, it's what you describe, all your different things to do, is very embodied, which it could be, because this is such a deep, you know, the whole notion of self-love is such a deep sort of psycho-emotional topic. You could really be in your head about it. I mean, journaling's great, but you've got to be it. You got to be love, and you got to do love. I mean, you talk about the vibration of love and how important it is to speak it, and your body resonates with the vibration of love when you're speaking those words. I mean, I loved that.
And I can see, actually, the process of looking in the mirror and developing that is also a way of holding it going out in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, what you're both saying is, number one, self-love is a choice. So it's in every moment, do you choose love or do you choose fear, shame, blame, guilt, obligation? I mean, we can go on and on, judgment, perfectionism, unrealistic expectations. And so self-love and the way that I practice it, the way that I teach it, because I've been practicing this myself for 10 years, because I came to the fact that I was a woman with a lot of self-esteem who didn't love herself. And then the question was, how do you do it? 10 years later, after much experimentation, that's one of the things I've learned, is it's in the moment, are you choosing love for yourself or those other things? And to really start to practice that, to start to practice right every month, and this goes to the part about sharing it, we have love ambassadors around the world. Anyone can be a love ambassador. You're both already, you know, we're all love ambassadors, right? We're all on team love, I call it, right? Anyone that believes in the power of love and is willing to live love is a love ambassador. And then I also have a team of love ambassadors where we come together every month and we pick one branch of self-love and we just talk about it. We be it, we give it, and we live it. You be love, give love, and live love. And so we blog on it and we Facebook it and we, you know, tweet on it and we talk about it and it runs our lives. And I was, you know, just with my assistant apprentice, Dominique, and we were having a business meeting today, her and my husband and I, and we're in self-compassion this month. So it's all about self-compassion. So it showed up in our business meeting because we talked about what we were all really proud about in ourselves. And then we talked about, you know, some of the things that didn't go really well. And the same thing that was true for all of us was that we really got that even though there had been some failures and things that had happened, we were all still learning. And so there's a love mantra that we've been working with, the love mantra, the voice, the vibration, is I'm just learning and it's okay. So in those moments when the inner mean girl or inner mean dude strike and like you're not doing a great job or things aren't working out, instead of criticizing yourself and judging yourself and comparing yourself and setting unrealistic expectations or blaming yourself, you can stop and just say to yourself, it's okay. You're just learning. Okay.
A work in progress.
Yeah, a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's helped us be more compassionate to ourselves mm-hmm. and also to each other. Because then we were like, you know, like you screwed something up and you're being like, oh, I'm just learning. And we're like, oh, yeah, right. You're just learning. I don't have to like pummel you now. Right. And so it creates more love. And I kind of joke that we have the power to make love. Like we're making love in every moment. And are we choosing to make love or are we choosing to make guilt, shame, whatever? Like we literally have these like little factories that get to choose these things.
Well, we can be very humble in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what you're talking about is humility. And that's a great aspect of leadership, too, is to be honest with ourselves in a way that's forgiving and compassionate.
Yes, humility is, I'm a big thumbs up of humility, but humility doesn't mean being a doormat. Humility means, and this is the piece around self-awareness, which is another one of the branches of self-awareness, is all about understanding who you are, who you're not, and the impact that you have. See, narcissists don't understand their impact because they're missing that piece that never got really loved.
Right, and they can never have enough impact.
They can never, exactly. But for those of us that really do love yourself, self-love is not exclusionary of other people.
Could you, and we can do it, we can read it right from the book, but it'd be nice to come from you, just so that listeners know what these 10 branches of the tree mm-hmm. are?
Yeah. So the first branch is self-awareness and self-honesty. That's on the same branch. Second branch is self-acceptance. The third branch, and I can I'll just say a little bit about what they are. So let me start over. So the first branch is self-acceptance, and that's really about knowing who you are and who you're not, and being clear about that. And self-awareness, both of those are important. Self-awareness is also self-honesty, so it's also about really being honest with yourself no matter what. Self-acceptance, which is the next branch, is loving yourself no matter what. Like loving yourself for your flaws, loving yourself for just exactly who you are. And when you love yourself, when you have true self-acceptance, comparison goes away. So you don't need to compare yourself because it's insanity, because you just accept yourself so much. And then there's self-care, and that's the ability to give to yourself first no matter what. Like that you make sure that you get what you need and that you just always make sure that you have what you need. That's self-care. Self-compassion is being kind and gentle with yourself no matter what. Self-esteem is really self-confidence, the knowingness that you can do and be and have anything. Self-expression is all about being fully and freely yourself. Here I am, world, you know, and not holding back. Self-empowerment is going for your dreams without holding back. And then there is self-respect and self-honor, and that's all about holding yourself as sacred. Self-trust, which is really about deeply listening to your inner wisdom and also acting on it, even if conventional wisdom says something else. And then, of course, there's self-pleasure, which was my branch last year. Every year I pick a branch to really grow. And that's all about filling up your joy and happiness tank.
That must have been a great year.
It was a really good year. Yeah. Well, I have a recovering doing addict in her Mean Girl, so I had to do some reformation of her. And so I promised myself that no matter how much work there was to do, I would always find time for joy and happiness. And that branch grew like crazy.
What do you recommend in that line of work?
In which one? In the self-pleasure? Well, there's a great exercise in Nailing Them With Me that is called, it's a piece of me art, is actually making a joy portrait. And I did this because I realized that while I love my work, which I get to travel around the world and talk to great people like all of you, and I get to meet great people and write books and speak and talk and coach and go to retreats and da-da-da, I love it so much that I'll just give it. I'll give my all to it. And my little girl inside was like about to go on strike. She's like, I would like to go like to the movies and like do not, or read Narnia for a day in bed. Like the happiest, those things that mean, like maybe meaningless to the world, but would just fill me up with joy. You know, eat an ice cream cone, go skipping, go for a walk. And I realized that I was joy starved. Like I, even though I loved my life, I loved what I was doing, I was starving for joy and fun. And so I took an 8.5 piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, and I wrote the words joy in the middle. And then I filled up that paper with all the things that bring me joy and all the things that make me happy.
That's a great exercise.
And then I put that up and I made sure every week I was looking at that and then saying, all right, making sure I'm getting my joy fill. And then I made the self-love promise, which is actually a whole chapter in the book, is about how to make a self-love promise, how to pick a branch, and how to really grow that branch.
There's a lot of self-nurturing in the book. For instance, love mantras.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds beautiful. So if you have mantras that you've actually written out and you use them on a regular basis, it can be so pleasurable.
Yeah, well, like the mantra that we talked about, I'm just learning and it's okay.
And then you have self-love promises to make.
Mm-hmm, like the one I just made with myself.
Right. And what, there's another part here that I really like, and it's called Get Bragged On.
Oh, yes.
There's a great video on your website about
it. I love making fun videos. Yeah, so that's one of the self-love dares. Sometimes it's a daring act. It's called Get Bragged On and Add On. I had a lot of fun making that video. And so it goes like this. Pretty much you find a friend and you say, okay, I need for you to help me like increase my love quotient. So I want you to just tell me what you love about me. Not what you think is great about me, but use the words love, right? And so the person will say, well, I just love this about you and I love that about you. And you ask the person to basically, you know, talk for like, you know, a minute. And then you have to add on and talk for a minute back. And say, so, yeah, I really love this about you. And I use the word love. I really love and I love and I use the word love over and over and over again. And it's hard for a minute. It's really hard. So you got to time yourself. And then you can do it back to the other person, which is great. But first you have to let that land for yourself. And it's really hard. And you'll just notice your own blocks around really, you know, shining.
So these are great exercises, and they're found in a book called Madly in Love with Me. So I think that's so perfect. The daring adventure of becoming your own best friend and helping everyone else become theirs too, because this is something that's contagious.
And we hope so.
Right. How can people, I guess they can go to the bookstore and find Madly in Love with Me, or go to a website. What's your website?
They can go to madlyinlovewithme.com.
Oh,
it is. Yeah, and there's a great free self-love kit on there, and there's the videos that you were talking about, and it's a whole cornucopia of self-love blogs and videos and all kinds of things.
This is so wonderful. Christine Arilo, thank you for being on Energy Stew and being such a wonderful guest and inspiring our audience and my wife and I as well. So thank you for being a guest.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Much love to everyone. Thank you.
And Deborah, thank you for co-hosting with me.
I've loved being here.
Good. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.